All right, here we are on YouTube live. Let's make sure everybody made it. I'm here. Rob, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, good. Alex, I see you. Gila's missing.
She had to step away for a moment. Okay. She will be back forthwith.
And Kyle, I think you're joining us.
Trying, yeah.
Okay, over good. Here. Well, some exciting news. We, of course, have our regular phone number. Which is 802-321-HACK, 802-321-4225. But our good friend Lucky225 has set up a toll-free number for those listeners who have trouble calling Vermont. If you recall, last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a listener who was very upset that she had to call long distance. I didn't think long distance existed anymore. So there's a toll-free number that I think works. It's area code 833. Yes, that is a toll-free area code, just like 800, but it's 833. 755-2600. Imagine that. That is so close to our old phone number, you know, our old office number, or our current office number with a different area code, but it's not. 833-755-2600. We'll get to the same place, I think. So give either one a try, 833-755-2600 or 802-321-HACK. And you can be a listener that calls us on the air, even though it's not really the air. It's the internet. And Robbie, you can verify that we are, in fact, on the internet, correct?
We are indeed. The YouTube is chugging away, and we have people listening. So,
good.
Hello, all of you.
These shows go so quickly. There's so many things I wanted to talk about, and before I know it, the hour is gone. Of course, there's the figuring out how to get on the air part, which is a real pain in the ass. And then there's the whole having to end the show 5 minutes before the hour and then playing the outro. So it's really just 50 minutes. And by the time all the pleasantries are exchanged, that's another 5 minutes down the drain there. And, of course, we have to tell people to support the radio station. Another 10 minutes gone. But, you know, it's only a few minutes we have to talk about anything. So that's why we have overtime. That's why we need overtime. And now we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
I am?
Yes, go ahead.
Great.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to let you, the two people who...
Wait, this is the caller that had trouble calling long distance, right?
Yes, it is.
And you see what we did for you. We set up a toll-free number.
Thank you very much.
And did you call that toll-free number?
Yes, I did.
It works. It's amazing. Thank you to Lucky225 for setting it up for us. This is what hackers do. They come up with solutions to problems that we didn't know existed.
And I have a solution to the pair of people who were frustrated about not being able to get their Excelsior passes.
Okay.
I was very eager to get mine, and so I tried, you know, just after midnight, which was 14 days after, and I didn't get it. I tried a little before 9 a.m., and I tried a little after 9 a.m., and then I tried a little bit before and after the time of my shot, which is on the card, which I thought they might have, you know, put it into a system, and I wouldn't get my pass until after that time, and I still didn't. But the next day, I was able to get it.
I think what it is, there are a lot of people working on it. And I think it's just they get overwhelmed and it takes them a day to catch up. I think it's something like that.
There's also one other fly in the ointment. It's supposed to be good for 6 months after you're fully vaccinated. But the date was for six months after your second shot instead of 6 months after you're fully vaccinated 14 days after that.
Okay, so those 2 weeks, they might count or they might not. You know what? I'm willing to let them get away with that. It's about 6 months.
Okay.
And plus, you know, that might change, too.
Since you were hacking, I thought you might be interested in the things that I went through in getting my pass.
Well, okay, so your advice to Robin Gila, then, is to wait until tomorrow, and it should work.
Hopefully, yes.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for sharing that.
Excellent. Thank you
and
very much, caller.
Thank you for the toll-free number.
Okay. You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
And our phone number, again, is toll-free, 833-755-2600, or the regular number, 802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK. We have too many cool numbers now. we only have one phone line. So how do we have so many cool numbers that go to that phone line? It's pretty amazing. I wish we could program it to give a busy signal. I think when somebody calls and someone's on it, it goes to voicemail. There's nothing we can do about that because we're somewhere in the line. We're making use of Google, and they just won't allow us to do that.
Well, maybe Google Voice will add that feature someday.
They won't. They'll just ignore us, as they always do.
We can still hope.
Again, if people are having trouble getting a vaccine, we want to hear about it, and we can utilize our hacker skills to figure out if there's a way to get into the system, to figure it out. There's always a way. And this is something I've learned by just playing with a lot of systems over the past few months. If something doesn't work, you just keep trying until it does. And then you keep trying after that to make a better result possible. You know, originally, Kyle, you had an appointment for mid-May, and we just kept trying and got an appointment for last week. And people today are getting appointments for the same day. So these things are possible. You should never accept what somebody tells you as the final result, that you can't get better than this. You always can. You always can. Persistence is how you do it. And that's one thing we have learned in the hacker community, is that you persist, eventually you'll get the result you're looking for. And right now the result we're looking for is a phone call, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. Or again, if you don't want to have the long-distance charges, which I don't think works overseas. Someone can try that, but I don't think it does. But in the continental United States and maybe Canada, 833-755-2600. And you can speak to us over the airwaves.
Not Mexico, though?
Maybe. I don't know. Someone has to go down to Mexico and try it. Can we even go to Mexico?
If it works in Canada, I think Mexico should be able to use it as well.
We cannot go to Canada still, even completely vaccinated. We can't go to... that's... Okay, interesting. We're seeing weird numbers on a display. So we will confess to that we were able to see numbers that come in because of this phone setup we have. And this one had a weird prefix. It was 03 something. And then so, okay. Good evening. You're on the air?
Good evening, Governor Hooker.
Okay, that explains it. Your number showed up as 03, I think, 592 something? What's the country code for Bulgaria?
359.
Oh, there you go. 359. That's it. Okay, so we know when Bobson is calling by that weird number that shows up.
Which number did he use?
Yeah, you didn't use the 833 number, did you? Bobson used the 802 number.
I tried earlier, but I get a message from the local phone company that said I'm about to connect.
Uh-huh. It makes sense. It makes sense. So how are you? Have you gotten your vaccine yet, or Bulgarians? I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's not obvious about the unable to connect, because there are 800 numbers over there that I've tried reaching with country code 1 in front.
Really? And they work?
From here, and they just play a message that charges may apply, and they connect you to the 800 whatever.
And do charges apply?
Well, maybe.
You don't know.
Exactly. I don't talk to too many 800 numbers, but the 833 thing I tried earlier. I was surprised by not being able to connect.
Well, I'm not surprised, but I'm glad you did connect. I wanted to ask you, are Bulgarians getting vaccines? Do you guys have a decent setup, or is it a struggle?
Well, I don't really know. I had my second dose of Moderna last Friday.
Great.
So I'm not exactly sure the whole bureaucracy that's been put up on top of the required elements for the situation, but...
How does it work there? How did you sign up for your vaccine?
Well, certain people who work in healthcare there were doses provided by the employers, by their employers, for them and close family folk. So, yeah, somehow that happened for me.
So you work with a lot of people in your employment, and it's important as far as your occupation, and that's how you were able to be eligible?
No, people who work in healthcare, their employers get vaccinations arranged at the place of employment for employees and close relatives to those employees if they wish to get it.
How is it for the general public now?
I think it's messy. I don't know how messy it is, but it's unlikely to get less messier in nearby future. We had a election last Sunday, which went, how should I say? Well, things happened that were a bit of a, I can't say I'm happy with the results, shall we say.
Well, we've had some stormy elections too, and we've gotten through them.
Yes, I know.
You've heard.
Well, definitely.
Oh, yes, I've been listening to news and such over the past few years.
Well, I heard about the election as well, and it's definitely something that other parts of the world are watching, and certainly a change in direction.
By the way, Bobson, what time is it over there?
8 hours, 7 hours in the future with respect to New York. Let me check what it says here. It says 3:12. It's going to be 5 o'clock in 2 minutes.
It's going to be what time in 2 minutes?
It's going to be 3:14.
Oh, 3:14.
Close enough.
And okay, so 3:14 in the morning. That's probably why you sound tired.
No, in a minute it's going to be 3:14 in the morning.
Okay.
In the night, at night.
Got it. Well, Bobson, you should get some sleep, I think. Thanks for staying up to listen to us.
About 11 hours of sleep yesterday.
So. You did? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Bobson's a night owl, I think, but it's you know, he's up at all hours.
You think?
Uh-huh. Well, I would like to get other calls from Eastern Europe. So here's an invite to other countries as well. Croatia, Serbia,
there's a lot. It's a busy time. There's
Romania,
a lot going on
yeah.
in the world. We want to hear updates, and we certainly are. I'm so happy to hear you, Bobson, and have to keep us updated.
Yeah, very glad you got the vaccine.
Now that I'm fully vaccinated, I'm trying to figure out how long those vaccines will last for, which is most of what people are trying to figure out from what I can hear. Because if it's going to be a once-a-year thing, it may be doable, but if it's going to be needed to happen 3 times a year or something like that, it's going to be messy.
Well, I think all of that depends on how quickly we can get people vaccinated, how quickly herd immunity is achieved, and if we get to that stage, the virus won't be around to mutate into something that we have to get another shot for.
Yeah, it's ultimately preventing it from being endemic.
Oh, well, anyhow.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
I'm really happy with the person who vaccinated me because I have a phobia of needles, which has I've had for years, and I've warned them that I'll be as brave as I could, and I managed to.
Well, good for you. That's great.
And the person who did it was excellent both times in their the needling.
Wait, you got the same person each time?
Yeah.
Wow.
It so happens.
That's pretty cool.
It so happened.
All right, well, I'm glad you were able to overcome that. It's so important, and we'll all stay healthy as a result.
Well, let's all do that.
All right. Good hearing from you, Bobson. Talk soon.
Have a great night, folks.
Take care. And again, our phone number, 802-321-HACK, 802-321-4225, or the toll-free option, 833-755-2600.
Not only that, we could see Bobson in person in the not too distant future, theoretically speaking, according to the science.
Yes. You guys, you're awfully quiet. What's going on over there in Skype land?
We were just enjoying listening to Bobson.
You can talk to him too, you know. You can jump in.
Well,
he won't bite, not usually.
We also would like to anonymously thank the generous user who shared some information with us that we asked for earlier this evening.
The other caller, you mean? The other caller who helped solve your COVID passport problem?
Yeah, cool. we are grateful that we were helped out with that. And Gila, you're back.
I'm back, yes. Sorry, had a little issue to attend to.
Yes.
I'm back. Understandable. So our phone number again, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK, and 833-755-2600. What else is going on in the world of hacking and computers and all sorts of other crazy things? Anything people want to bring up?
Well,
come on, it's not 3 in the morning here, for God's sake. Pops is more lively than you guys. Come on. It's only 8:16.
You know, while we're on the subject, right? I mean, you know, I think Rob actually had brought this up on our private list earlier, which was this rather interesting concurring opinion of Justice Thomas that came out from the Supreme Court a couple of days ago.
Yeah, what was that all about? What was the decision?
Well, this is a pretty complicated procedural issue too, right? I mean, this case was up on appeal to the Supreme Court, and the case had to deal with whether or not it was unconstitutional for President Trump to ban somebody from his Twitter account, from social media. And what happened in the Supreme Court was that the Supreme Court actually vacated the lower decision. I mean, they threw it out. They threw out this lower decision that found that it was unconstitutional for President Trump to do that. And the reason being was because the issue at this point was moot because President Trump was no longer president of the United States.
So, the Supreme Court basically is saying it's moot because we dragged our asses getting to the case in the first place and it's no longer relevant?
Well, look, it does take a little while to percolate from, you know, I think it was in the D.C. District Court, and then it would have to go to the D.C. Circuit, then you have to petition for certiori.
Oh, my God,
you have to get that granted. You need time to brief the issues. It's not like, you know, this happens within a matter of weeks. I mean, Supreme Court briefs take a really, really long time to prepare. I've only done one in my career, and I worked on it day and night for months, and it was, very interesting issue. But so this was a pretty fascinating case because that lower court issue really hinged on President Trump using his Twitter account essentially as a public forum. It was a place where ideas could be expressed, where people could interact, where he could espouse public policy. He was talking through, you know, what used to be the real Donald Trump account on Twitter to foreign leaders. People could interact with him. It was essentially a public forum. And therefore, he was prevented. It was unconstitutional for him to ban people from participating in his Twitter account, whether they were hurling abuse at him or hurling praise. It didn't really matter. So they vacated this ruling essentially because he wasn't president anymore. And Justice Thomas, not in the majority opinion, but in the recurring opinion, came up with a somewhat controversial but also really interesting issues here that focus on social media. And it's really because of Twitter's power or the social media platforms' power. And because Twitter has the power to essentially turn off Donald Trump, to take away his account, to terminate his account, that means that this is not really a public forum, right? Because it would be different. The government would have most of the power if this was a public forum. So I think we've discussed this before on the show, but there is this tension that we have where if you have Twitter, which is a private party, and I think we can all agree, and I think we all did agree several years ago when they kicked Alex Jones off the platform, that this was something that Twitter could do. So we agree that Alex Jones can be kicked off. We agree that Trump can be kicked off the platform, that Twitter as a private party, is not subject to the strictures of the First Amendment, and they can censor whomever they want. But at the same time, and here's where the tension arises, portions of the Twitter platform, like Donald Trump's account, were being seen and viewed as public forums. So that's this contradictory notion that we have. On the one hand, it's a private party that can do whatever the hell it wants. On the other hand, some of Twitter's users have created a public forum. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that particular space? And here's where it gets even more interesting, because what Justice Thomas said, and I think there's a lot of wisdom to what he espoused here, was that he analogized Twitter to telephone companies. And he said, look, telcos and telephone companies, they put down this infrastructure of wires, this infrastructure of wires that allowed people to connect to each other. And so too have social media platforms created an infrastructure of information by which individuals are connected to each other. And perhaps then we should consider regulating social media companies like telephone companies, because they are both providing a means, by which people connect to each other, and they're both providing some kind of public service. And we could then reconcile the fact that they are a private party, but yet providing a public service, and like a telephone company or any kind of other infrastructure-related entity, a social media company would then lose the right to exclude certain people. They would lose that right, perhaps, to exclude Alex Jones, or they would lose the right, perhaps, to censor as they see fit. So, this was a well-reasoned opinion. It was interesting to me to see him analogize this to telephone companies, analogize this to infrastructure, and to acknowledge that tension that exists between a private party and a public forum.
Yeah, so pretty cool. I have serious problems with that. I mean, Twitter is not the same thing as a phone company. A phone company comes to your house. It's a vital service. Now, it's like saying your internet service provider is the same thing as Twitter. Twitter is just a service. It doesn't cost you anything. You can use it. You can go to a different service that works generally the same way. It's not something that can be considered like water or gas or electric or
you can live without it.
You absolutely can live without it. You can live a good life without it. And I think it's really, really dangerous to say that you have to provide service to the most reprehensible people in the world and treat them as if their opinion matters the same as people who are reasonable and people who aren't filled with hate and white supremacy. You can, it's your company. It's your system. I accept that. I'm not thrilled with some of the things. I got kicked off of Twitter for saying Memphis the other week. That was insane. But it's their system. If that's the rule they want to make, crazy as it is, I accept it. But if my internet service provider decides to cut me off because they don't like what I'm saying, that's a very different matter. It's a hugely different matter. Rob, go ahead. We have a phone call.
Yeah, and where's that line? Like, some friends of mine run the Mastodon server that I use, and, we need that right to ban, trolls and bad actors and Nazis. I have a crappy little blog on my website, my personal site. People can leave comments. Where's the line? Am I allowed to delete spam? Am I allowed to delete abuse on my own page that I pay to put up? Like, it's really, there's really dangerous ground here to be made by making bad decisions on this.
I'm told we don't have a call. I thought we did. Our phone number 802-321-4225. We did have a call, but they disconnected. 802-321-4225, toll free 833-755-2600.
Maybe they lost reception.
Maybe their phone company didn't like what they were doing and decided to cut them off.
Yeah, they were suspected of saying something against...
Yes, Alex.
Yeah, Alex.
To go back to this point and to belabor it a bit, I think what we do have to acknowledge, though, about Twitter is that how can we treat it both as something that belongs to the public, is a public forum, and therefore you cannot ban certain people from participating in it, and yet at the same time say it's a completely private entity that has the right to do whatever the hell it wants to do. Those are contradictory theories about what Twitter it.
Well, I think we're kidding ourselves if we say it belongs to the public. I don't think it does. I think it belongs to Twitter, and it's open to the public. And if Twitter doesn't like a particular user, they can kick them out. Look, it's similar. It's similar to 2600 meetings in malls. Okay, and we've had this problem before, where we like to think of the mall as a town square, but it's not. It's owned by a private company. And the tragedy is that there are very few town squares where you can meet publicly, but we've had this situation come up numerous times where this company says this is against our rules and we have to abide by their rules even if they're unreasonable. Remember the mall in St. Louis where you couldn't wear your baseball cap backwards? Yeah, that was their prerogative, and it's crazy, but it's the way things go when you own something.
It also just blows my mind that the party of, let the free market self-regulate and let private business do what it wants, and then it does something they don't like in there. No, not like that.
Exactly. And this past week with the whole Atlanta thing or Georgia, where they passed the anti-black voting bill, which is basically what it is. The companies that dare to speak out against this, such as Coca-Cola and Delta, they're being canceled by Republicans who are complaining about cancel culture. The irony is just unbelievable here. But basically, they don't seem to see that irony, that because they're speaking out and saying something that's against what the Republicans want them to say, they're being punished for that. That's crazy. And that is the reality that we live in right now.
Well, perhaps. But, I mean, I think the issue here, too, though, is that if Twitter has the ability to, let's say, ban the president of the United States from using his platform, that has been seen to be and was already found to be a public forum, right? Ordinarily, the government has some kind of control over whatever a public forum is, right? So if we are going to maintain these two different contradictory theories, legal theories of what this thing, this platform, Twitter, is, then to reconcile them, the way in which we would have to do it would be to not allow Twitter to have absolute power over its own rules, that it will have to be
but regulated. But they're its own rules. How do you do that? I mean, that's like you're saying if we operated the voice BBS at 2600, we'd have to allow Trump on. You know, we couldn't kick him off because it's a public forum.
So it has to do with market share, too, the type of people using this, the way in which information flows. I mean, look, you know, to Rob's point, I think, you know, his blog, it's not, you know, it's something that would be de minimis, right? I mean, but when we're talking about Twitter, we're talking about hundreds of millions, billions of users around the world that are participating in this discussion. And it has, in a large part, become a public forum. I mean, if we don't consider it to be a public forum, then we have to acknowledge that politicians can ban whatever and whomever they want from participating in those particular types of participating in discussions on their profiles. And that to me is dangerous as well. I mean, I think
as a Twitter user, you can do that. As a Twitter user, you can ban whoever you want. But as president of the United States, that might run into conflict with your responsibilities as that person, where you're not supposed to just shut people up because you don't like what they're saying. So I think the two things are separate, Twitter rules and presidential rules.
Sure. I mean, look, I'm not a very ardent fan of Justice Thomas by any means, but I think that this particular concurring opinion was really fascinating to read. And I would encourage our listeners to give it a read because it's very thoughtfully laid out. And it sets out this tension between what this particular thing is. We haven't really defined it. We're still struggling with it. And I think part of that struggle is that the platform itself and our use of it is continually evolving. We don't necessarily know where it's going to be. And I'll shut up now because it sounds like we have a call.
Well, we have. It's weirdness. Do we have a call? Is there a call there?
Yeah, yes.
That's weird because we're seeing calls come in and you're already here. That's the bug in the system. Okay, where are you calling from?
Tulsa, Oklahoma. My name is Dakota. I have a question.
Go ahead.
How would you guys resolve this with Twitter? Like, if say you were Jack Dorsey, how would you go about it from your approach?
I mean, you know, my view is my company, my rules. You know, simple as that. And if you don't like them, use a different company. What I think as a user, I think Twitter's way too big. I think there should be 20 Twitters. And, you know, having just one place where everybody goes is unhealthy, because then you have situations where you disagree with the company and you feel left out as a result. But again, as far as users have the right to do what they want as users within the rules of the company. But again, if you're president of the United States, you have different responsibilities that you can't do the same things that somebody like me can do to the people that follow you. Otherwise, you're violating your trust to the public.
Have you guys checked out Clubhouse? The forum is very different. It's very cool and it's very trendy.
I've heard about Clubhouse. Alex, you're smiling, Alex.
Alex knows about it.
What do you know?
Well, what do I know about it? I mean, I've been saying to the guys, caller, that and the girl, rather, that we should consider somehow simulcasting on Clubhouse as well as YouTube. What do you think about that?
I think that's awesome. From over here, I've been using that for the past 2 days, and I love it.
Wow. Well, I've never used it. I don't even know how to access it, but I'm open to checking out any new platforms.
Well, you're open when a caller suggests it. When I suggested it, I don't remember you being so open.
Okay, that's QAnon for sure. Did we lose a call? Is the caller still there?
Yeah, it dropped. We are looking into that. It is platform specific, which means we need to create a nice little sandbox for it to exist in for our purposes.
Yeah,
but
I'm not open to us having more work to do, because we do plenty of work already just to do this. So if it works, if we just throw a switch and we're on Clubhouse, great. If we have to, like, you know, have more people coordinating more things and there's all sorts of other issues that could go wrong, I don't know if we really need to do that as well.
Long term, we're open to it, but for the moving parts, just right now, it might be more than we can chew, so to speak.
Yeah. But if you have the ability to put us on Clubhouse, go ahead, do it. And you put us on whatever.
We have been reading some articles about it, like the history or some of the similarities to older systems. I think someone posted an article this week about it. We want to hear more about it.
So it's weird, the system we have, because we have the phone hooked up to our television, where we see a call coming in. In fact, we see one right now coming in. And we can see that's from Detroit. Yeah, we know. Those calls come in even when we're talking to somebody. Call waiting, I think, shows up and it goes to a voicemail. Anyway, Michigan, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you surprised that we know you're in Michigan?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm just calling in to see if you guys had intentionally disabled the chat on there, because it looks like y'all got a 30-some people there, and it'd be cool to chat with the live watchers.
Oh, you mean on YouTube?
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe it was turned off because people were being stupid, but you know, that always happens. Yeah.
Well, basically, we didn't have as many people either. It was an experiment, so it has been off since we started doing this. That could change, but the answer is yes.
And if you're chatting on YouTube while listening to it, it doesn't seem like you'll call. It doesn't seem like you'll be listening. And I don't know. It's a distraction. But if enough people really want it, I guess we could turn it back on.
The other thing is,
sorry, go ahead.
It would be pretty cool.
The other thing is, the conversation there, I think, becomes part of the content as it's archived. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe someone can tell us about that. But, you know, people like to test things, and maybe what they want to post there isn't exactly what we want to archive forever and ever. But, maybe it's cool. Maybe we'll do it. Since
it just seems like there's a chat everywhere you go. You know, you buy something on Amazon, there's a chat about it, there's surveys. It never ends. God forbid you get something on eBay. It's like a relationship you're going to be having for the rest of your life with the person you bought it from. But again, you know, if people want this, well, who are we to stand in the way?
We'll look at it.
I think it'll be fun.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
I'm just spamming the 2600 Keybase room. You know, being like,
What if we can say today is chat day, and like once a month we have the chat open on YouTube, and all kinds of people can come and communicate in that way. Rob, you have something to say.
Yeah, I mean, our whole goal with doing this was to do as much as we can to replicate taking calls in the studio, And I think maybe enabling the chat on YouTube would put us a little out of scope there. So yeah, it wasn't part of the immediate reason we put this together. You know, maybe there's something to the possibility of enabling it one day. But I think what we want to do, you know, not to sound too selfish, but we want to speak with you, and we can't do that in the chat. We want to speak with you on the phone.
Yeah, and then people are telling you what to say when you're talking to us, and then you're getting coached by all the. And then there's the IRC channel. Isn't there an IRC channel of people chatting during the show as well? It's like there's more people chatting about the show than are listening to the show.
But there may be people that don't want to talk, and they are uncomfortable being. Like on the air talking, so maybe they want to ask a question.
Maybe I'm one of them. Maybe I want to go on the chat. I'll just go in the other room and do that.
But we do encourage people who want to get in touch with us but not use the phone to send us email at oth@2600.com. Or if you use Twitter, you can tweet at us there at Hacker Radio Show.
Is that confusing enough?
Sure. Oh, cool. Thank you all for answering the question.
Thank you for calling.
Yep. Take care. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for listening.
Michigan's having a tough time with this virus. I just want to say that. So hopefully that listener is okay. And
things are changing really quickly though with a lot of this stuff. So whether it's appointments or just treatment and triaging crises like this, so there's definitely hope. There's help all around, and hopefully communities are addressing and confronting this stuff with courage.
Now that we've gotten our vaccines, we can start taking care of the rest of us, and you know, we're getting our teeth cleaned and just maintaining ourselves, you know, things that we haven't done in the last year, and it's safe to go out and get these things done now.
It's weird to just a little bit be able to look ahead with, like, I don't know, newfound things that just were not on the table before. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of exciting thing.
Absolutely. Alex? You're muted, Alex.
Oh, no, I didn't actually have anything to comment on there. I was just gesticulating.
Ah, okay. You're waving the phone at me, Kyle. Does that mean there's a phone call?
Not yet. Ooh. I was going to give out the phone
number.
833-755-2600.
I like how you pause on the 2600 as if you're just as unsure of that digit. Yeah, okay. 833-755-2600 is the toll-free number. I don't know where that goes. It might route all around the world. Who knows? Or the direct number, which goes to our other direct number, 802-321-4225, which spells 802-321-HACK. And who knows? Maybe we'll have another cool number to share in the weeks ahead. The coolest number, though, will be the one when we're back in the studio and we can take calls directly on our regular show. I hope that day comes soon, or soon enough. Go ahead, Rob.
And speaking of which, we're not on the airwaves right now, but we do still believe that you should support BAI and keep them doing what they do and become a member within the next 3.5 hours or so to get your place voting on the upcoming referendum. So if you call 212-209-2950, that's another very cool number at which you can show your support for what we do here, or go to give2wbai.org on the web.
It's a good way to hit the ground running, because as soon as you support the station with that $25 pledge, before midnight, you'll be part of the vote, the historic vote that's going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks. I think it's happening in May. And that will pretty much decide not only the future of the station, the future of the Pacifica network. So if you want a say in that, that's how you get a say. Become a voting member by pledging a minimum of $25 before midnight. 212-209-2950 or give to WBAI.org. Alex, I think you have something to say this time.
Yeah, this issue of the referendum, I think it's forbidden to talk about the referendum specifically or the substance of the referendum while we're on the air. Is that correct?
And I know we're not on the air now, but I'd still like to keep that going just for the sake of I don't even know what we're supposed to do, we're not supposed to do. Let's keep it simple for now and not discuss any of that, because
but what we definitely can do, from the hacker point of view, we want you to look at the referendum, get all the information available, and vote your conscience.
Yes.
We can tell you to do that.
Yes. And you can write to us, and we will be open with you through email, I believe, and we might have different ideas and opinions. But for now, all we can say is support the station, and you'll be a part of the conversation. 212-209-2950, give to WBAI.org, and call us, talk on the air, talk on the overtime show, 802-321-HACK, 833-755-2600.
We're on Twitter as well, at Hacker Radio Show.
Yes, but you can't go on the air from there, can you?
I bet one or the other of us could check that occasionally, too, just like we were talking about with chat channels and that stuff. It is very hard to manage when you're having discussions with people, and that is the point of this.
You know, Alex, with your eagerness to get involved with the Clubhouse, or to get invited into the Clubhouse, maybe what we should do is every week have a different outlet that we broadcast the show on. So it'll be, you know.
That sounds like exactly what we didn't want to do.
More work. Lots
Why
more
are
work.
You well, suggesting
no, because
that?
I'm assigning it to Alex, all right?
What's in your
He's
mug?
Doing it all.
What are you drinking? What is in the mug? Come on.
Nothing. And that's another thing I want to talk about. Is why is there nothing in the mug? All right. I think maybe we're getting towards the end of overtime. If anybody wants to call us before we completely pass out, do so now, please.
There are a lot of stories and kind of interesting things going on with, of course, the various hacks. SolarWinds was one of them, and the Outlook stuff that all is ongoing and quite exciting. And I think there was another thing that I saw in the news. Did anybody hear about this White Lives Matter prank or...
White Lives Matter or White Lives Matter?
It was a kidnapping.
Wait, are you saying lies, L-I-E-S or L-I-V-E-S?
Lies.
L-I-E-S.
Yes.
Okay, I kind of like that phrase, but well, no, so I haven't heard anything about this.
Now I'm embarrassed. I would have prepared if I thought maybe other people might have known about it. I'm sorry for mentioning it and being unprepared, but basically what I think happened, I don't know what state it's in, but a Confederate monument was kidnapped. And the group that did it is White Lives Matter.
Okay, all right.
And they're holding it for ransom, or they were. I'm not sure the status of it yet.
How would that work exactly?
So they have it for ransom, and they're threatening to turn it into a toilet if their demands aren't met.
These are some skilled people, I'll say that.
All I'm saying is I like this hack.
Well, I mean, they definitely have ideas.
I'm kind of... I want to know more. It's the Jefferson Davis Monument.
Okay.
And they are threatening basically to modify it if their demands are not met.
You mean improve it?
This is in Selma, Alabama. And the ransom specifically is they're demanding that the United Daughters of Confederacy hangs a banner bearing a quote from Asata Shakur outside its headquarters in Richmond, Virginia. They want they're demanding it's hung for 24 hours beginning on Friday, the anniversary of the Confederacy's Civil War surrender.
Yeah,
I don't know any updates on this. This might be old news, but I don't know, and I don't even really remember where I heard it.
Isn't there a date on the story? I hate when there's no date on the story.
Sorry, I had
a yesterday. I have a story from yesterday.
It was yesterday, I think. Okay, thank you.
Isn't there a Jefferson Davis Street in Brooklyn or something? There's a couple of Confederate streets near. I think it's an army base or something. It's hard to get to, but it's still officially named after Confederate war people in Brooklyn.
Well,
I mean that's crazy.
They're, you know, look under your carpets you know, under leaf piles, you might have some sort of monument around you. This country's got a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
failure to do so will result in the monument, an ornate stone chair, immediately being turned into a toilet.
Oh, it's a chair.
Yes. If they do not display the banner, not only will we return the chair intact,
but we will clean it. I don't profess to be a Civil War expert or, you know a lot about the Confederacy, but how in God's name is a chair a monument to anybody? How does that work?
I don't know. I haven't seen a picture of it. I'm not sure what it depicts.
Is it a monument to Jefferson Davis's chair?
Or he's made... Your best guess is as good as mine at this point.
Wow. I've got something.
Okay.
Sorry, reading from the Washington Post. The Jefferson Davis Memorial Chair, which is first reported missing from Live Oak Cemetery.
It is a memorial chair. Wow, okay.
Is an ornately carved stone chair that was dedicated in 1893 to the Confederate president's memory and is estimated to be worth $500,000.
Oh, hell yeah. Make that into a toilet. For sure. Did you see the number that just called us? All zeros.
No. Yes.
Wow.
We have a phone call from...
Hello, caller. You really masked your caller ID.
500. I did?
Yeah, all zeros. We have no idea who you are or where you are. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I was just calling in to give more details, but I think Gila found them out for herself. So it was.
It must be that 800, that 833 number. Because I'm not saying that you don't have the ability to completely hide your identity. And
do not have any special ability, but I do have a block on caller ID. That's it.
Okay, well, that might be enough, although it's usually not enough for toll-free numbers. You know, if you block your caller ID, toll-free numbers use ANI, and a lot of people don't realize
that. It may be a combination of her choice as a consumer, as well as our good friend having set this up in a certain way, but we don't know. We'd have to verify that.
She clearly has a ton of skills. She's figured out the passport. She's gotten the vaccines. She's now defeated the message rate system that the phone company uses.
It's got to be her.
You're on a roll, caller. You're on a roll.
Thank you. Let me just mention, I don't know why anyone would not be able to do it by midnight, but I suppose that if they missed the midnight deadline, they would have 3 extra hours in which to join one of the California stations.
Oh, that's interesting. That's thinking like a hacker. Yeah, I guess you could join KPFA or KPFK, one of them, because it's 3 hours earlier out there, and you would meet the midnight deadline. Or maybe it's just a midnight deadline Pacific time for everybody. I don't know. But let's not be too close to the wire there. Let's call in the support.
But it's very important for people to vote against the New Day scoundrels.
Okay. Well, we're not going to take positions on the air or even on this show yet. All right. So we have to leave it at that. It's just to make things a little bit easier. There'll be plenty of time to discuss all this.
There was another thing I wanted to mention. You mentioned that line that went all the way around. Remember?
The what that went all the way where?
The line for people being vaccinated.
Oh, Alex, you mentioned that.
You're talking about my line down and around 7.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm concerned with the vaccinations being opened up like that. It makes older people who, you know, were previously qualified but doesn't have the skills to grab an appointment, they're competing with all these young people who know exactly what to do, and they're just being elbowed out. I'm afraid that opening it up like that is a little bit too much too soon. And I also wondered, does anyone know this deadline for all adults being vaccinated? Does that include 16 to 18-year-olds?
If you're talking about the April 19th opening up, yes, it does.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Thanks thanks for your call, and we'll talk to you again.
So it's young adults and adults, I guess.
I would like to think those people that she's referring to would be helping everybody else to get the vaccine. I think that is...
If you are between a certain, maybe a younger person, a student in that age group, if you help one or two other people somehow,
mm-hmm.
maybe in your family or your social group somehow, maybe that, you know, once you're taken care of and, you know, you can extend your flexibility and ability to move around, or at least put not being vaccinated behind you, you can, you know, spend a little bit of time helping someone. That's the hope, at least.
I've got a couple of Twitter accounts that I think people should follow in order to basically get as many possible appointments as possible. to coin a phrase. New Jersey has one. C19 Vax updates, C19 VAXX updates, helping eligible New Jersey residents secure a COVID-19 vaccine appointment. I've actually used this to help some people in New Jersey, and it works well. You just have to follow that account, maybe have it alert your phone when something new happens, and jump on it, and you'll probably get an appointment. Again, C19VAXX updates is the Twitter account. And I had another one on the screen, but it just fell off the screen. If you bear with me a moment, I'll find it. Alex, looks like you have something to say.
Yes, to the caller's point about opening this up to younger people, I appreciate you know her bringing this up because I hadn't thought about it that way. And I think what she said was really well-founded in that if this is completely opened up to younger people, the older people that had difficulty with scheduling a vaccine in the first place are going to be pushed farther and farther down this line. And I think that's an absolutely well-founded concern, and I really hope that it doesn't happen. We can try to goad people into public service and helping out in whatever way that they can. But the long and the short of it is, I think that the caller's point can indicate a complete and abject failure on the part of our local governments in making sure that senior citizens had appropriate access to vaccine scheduling assistance. This is an incredibly difficult, crazy system, a patchwork of scheduling and Eventbrite and privately built systems, sometimes from drugstore to drugstore, that it was difficult even for somebody like me to figure it out. To expect senior citizens to do that without any assistance from the government, without somebody essentially holding their hand to make sure that they were first online to get the vaccine, now opening this up to more and more people, I think it's a great point. But I think what we can point to is that we need to do this better, we need to do this faster, and we need to really focus on the education and assistance to our senior citizens. God forbid there's a next time around.
Alex, what do you mean there is no assistance?
What
evidence of that do you have?
What evidence? I mean, can you tell me about specific assistance that's been given to senior citizens to help them?
There's a phone number people can call. Another 833 number, by the way.
Yeah, my mother called that. She spent about 5 hours on hold, got disconnected, spent another 5 hours on hold. I mean, it was a complete nightmare.
I called it once, and I got somebody in 10 minutes who was extremely helpful. Now, I'm not saying everybody gets the same luck, but
again,
it does work.
I just mean, that might be the case in New York, but in Florida, it's going to be completely different.
I thought we were talking about New York.
Sure. Well, New York, but the problem though is endemic to the entire country. Because this was a local issue, because these were logistics for local government to figure out, there was no consistency across the board. There was no consistency across the United States of America.
Isn't that a federal failure though?
Well, it could be, but how can we expect the federal government to do it when they don't know how the local government is going to implement it? So whatever the local government's plan was, they did not include, I think, the education and the handholding that senior citizens needed to make sure that they got access to the vaccine as early as possible.
Uh-huh.
They got a head start.
That will cost lives, too. No doubt.
Yeah, I think a lot of this should be federalized, and I think Biden is reaching out and making a lot of mandates that states have to follow. I think can you point to a state that's done it better?
No.
I ask everybody that
You also bring up a good point too, though. I mean, I think more and more of this is becoming standardized through the federal government, through certain mandates of Biden, and that's a good thing. But you have to remember what he was coming into.
Uh-huh.
We found out right before Trump finally decided he was going to leave office that the plan was literally that there was no plan for the rollout of the vaccine. It was entirely left to the discretion of the states without any kind of overarching principles, assistance, even federal hotlines to help people. So, I think if there was a more competent prior administration that was in charge of the logistics of this, we would have a hell of a lot more consistency,
Alex,
in terms of the vaccine rollout.
maybe in consideration of your point, what should happen is in conjunction with that allowance and loosening of eligibility requirements, we have a big push in the state or in cities to really, really help any seniors that are hesitant or that are having technical challenges registering for an appointment and or getting ground transportation, etc.
And by the way, that phone number I mentioned, by the way, to get help in New York, that you will get a person, if you keep trying, you got to keep trying, 1-833-697-4829. That's 1-833-NYS4VAX. But probably it's easier to say 833-697-4829. Also, I mentioned Twitter accounts to follow. Again, New Jersey, C19VAX with two X's updates, C19VAXX updates. And in New York, TurboVax, of course. We've talked about TurboVax before. And follow those in the area, and you'll get all kinds of information about vaccine availability. And if you follow it around the clock, you'll be able to jump on something, guaranteed. That's just in this area. Every other part of the country has different services and different people that learn the skills and will share that information. And that's really where the help comes from. We can't depend on authorities to get it right. They're going to be tripping over themselves everywhere you go. But I do think we've seen some examples of the system working.
And a lot of the local and state health departments are really doing their best. They are partnering and they're getting whatever works in their area set up, stood up and running as best they can. So certainly be in touch with your primary physician as well as local health department. If they have a number or if you don't want to call yourself, have someone help you call them.
And remember, every day about 3 million people are getting vaccinated now, which is incredible. And that's 3 million less people to compete with. All right. And with more vaccine becoming available, it's going to get easier and easier. So it might be frustrating now. A couple of weeks, it'll be better, guaranteed. So just keep trying. Reach out to us if you have questions. We'll do our best to figure it out. You want to see if there's any more phone calls, Kyle? One more? Okay. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. And, of course, what happened to the toll-free number? It disappeared. I don't have it in my head.
833-755-2600.
Yeah, but it was on a piece of paper in front. Oh, it's over here now.
You moved the paper.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anything else from you guys over in Skype land?
Well, I'll say, you know, if people want to call, I feel like they should do it now because with the rate people are getting vaccinated, we should be back in the station soon. And I can't imagine us carrying this on or having the ability to carry this on once we're back in the station. So call us and use the opportunity to not be bound by the FCC's rules and regulations.
Not that we're encouraging you to step over those guidelines, but yeah, it's true. We're not on the radio, so I guess the FCC has no say.
Just choose your cussing wisely.
That's right. Is one coming in?
I think so. Kyle's picked up the phone, so let's see who is out there. Go ahead, caller, you're on.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, where are you calling from?
Question to Eastern Kentucky.
Oh, wow, cool. Awesome.
Calling from the coal world.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, I was just going to see what your guys' thoughts were on censorship-resistant social media, like blockchain-based social media, where, say, if somebody does have something inflammatory to say or somebody's credentials or something to post, and there's no way of removing that, what's your thoughts on how that's going to, you know, play out in the future?
Alex, you got a thought on this?
Not really. I think a well-formed one, but I mean, I think these are all interesting prospects about how social media will be decentralized, perhaps in the future. And I also think that things like perhaps data escrows will come into play,
exists.
Oh, go ahead, caller.
Oh yeah, I was just mentioning it's been around now since about 2016. It's hasn't caught on too well so far, but as the barrier to entry becomes a lot more easy, I feel like it may have some pretty interesting implications in the future. I'm not sure if you guys remember Shadow Brokers. They were trying to start up their bidding process on a platform called Steemit.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Really, that's really kind of interesting. I didn't know that. That's fascinating. Like, I think there's a lot of potential and possibilities there, and I think we'll see this, you know, as the federal government clamps down on social media as well, because we're already seeing, like we talked about earlier today, the germs of much greater and much tighter regulation of social media platforms. I think there's going to be some antitrust issues that will be, facing several of the platforms, probably going, over the next couple of years, at least during this administration. And all of that will lead to, I think, exactly the type of things that you had brought up earlier, caller, proliferating more freely.
Let's just say we see the water going out for the tidal wave, I mean, we're not unaware that a lot of the implications can be kind of strict censorship adjacent, so to speak. But and to that end, just like the internet as we know it or have known it, there's always going to be sort of a place or a way, or someone will always try to find a way around that. And then, maybe that way will then, oddly enough, make it easier to filter because you're serializing or you're using tokenization in some way. Who knows? And that's kind of the exciting thing about innovation and the, I guess, arms race for speech in this context. I don't know how to characterize it. I think it's fascinating. And I don't know more than you've said, so we'll look into that for sure.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, and I would say, as somebody who's been an enthusiastic user of what we would call social media since it was, I think, being built in the old days, ever since we had BBSs and Usenet and moved on to email lists and websites and now apps and things. One thing that I personally, and I don't claim to speak to everyone, but one thing I personally want for social media is I want a community.
Boy, QAnon's really attacking you tonight, Rob.
Start over.
Yeah, take that sentence again, Fon.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that sentence again because my upspeed has been crap today and I apologize. But one thing that I personally want as a user of social media is a good community to be part of, is something that's worth it to be part of, and that's people to connect with, and communications, ideas, and one part of building an environment that is any bit of being worth it to be part of is if it can be a well-organized environment, and that's an environment that can get rid of trolls and that could delete abuse. And so, if there were a social media form in which you could not delete posts, in which you could not say certain people, hey, get off my lawn, I don't want to be part of it. I mean, I can block people from emailing me. I can block people from calling me. I want to be able to block assholes online because there are a lot of them. And I think I would not be eager to be part of a social medium that could not in some way be regulated, even if that was self-regulated, like, say, a small Mastodon server that is regulated by its own users and own community.
I think it's possible. Go ahead.
Oh, there's something already, it exists like that. I totally agree. You want to be able to get rid of the assholes whenever you encounter some. Excuse me. But, the thing is you can do that on the top layer, but you can't remove it from the chain itself. That's the caveat there.
Uh-huh.
It's like a ledger, but it's more of an open log of posts.
Yep. It's pretty much you have a front-facing website, like a front end, that's interpreting data from a ledger.
Got it.
Yeah, you see, I think it's possible for users and communities to self-regulate and to create a good community. But you have to have faith in their ability to do that. I'm not a big fan of being able to delete things that are unpleasant. Like, for instance, I'm fine with Trump being off Twitter. I'm not fine with his tweets no longer being accessible. I want to be able to see all the stupid crap he's said. I want to be able to access that, reference it, its history. And if I say something stupid, I don't think I should have the ability to just make like it never happened.
Also,
I said something stupid, I should own it.
Sorry, also links, like links breaking or being able to link to...
I don't know how you fix that.
Historical archives, yeah. It's if it's gone, it's gone now. And that you're right.
We'll all definitely want to reminisce on the shit show whenever we get a bit older.
Well said, yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for your call.
We go too. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Brilliant. Thanks for listening.
Well, I'm exhausted. I don't know about you guys. We've been on the overtime longer than the show itself now.
Yeah. Well, we'll miss it, I think, when overtime is gone. This has been a fun little experiment, hasn't it?
You think overtime is going to disappear. No, in fact, overtime will be on every night. And, yeah. Yes.
Can I just say, though, that please, if we move into a more responsible opening safely type situation, mm-hmm, I am willing to take credit for it.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. Because in much the same way that if rain is forecast and you pack an umbrella, it doesn't rain, I have been working from home on a card table since last March. Today, I bought a desk.
Wow.
So I will be back in my office on a very regular basis in the very near future because I bought a desk today.
Why didn't you buy a desk a year ago? We would have all been out of here by now.
You know, I bought a new desk chair a year ago. Like, it was last May, and I assumed it would happen then.
Uh-huh.
But there wasn't a vaccine then. So anything is possible, but I would like the credit if it happens soon. That's all I'm saying.
What are you doing with the card table?
I think we're going to fold it up and stick it in the corner.
Does anyone play cards on a card table?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Never happened to me. All right, folks, it's been great as always. Look forward to seeing you all. We're all vaccinated right now.
Yeah, thanks to Gia's desk for reuniting us in the future. I'm looking forward to that.
At the very least, once Kyle gets his second and two more weeks have passed, we can all just gather in the street at least and say hi to each other, even if we can't go to the station.
That's true.
Or maybe we can go to one of the restaurants that hasn't gone out of business in the city.
Yeah, we'll turn overtime into over drinks.
And then overindulgence.
Over the curb.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes.
What would be fun is if we did, in fact, all gather in one space and do the show, right? And connect it to the station, even if we couldn't go to the station.
Well, that's called a studio, yes. That's what we want to do.
No, you could all come to the Poconos and we can do the show from here.
In a rowboat.
In a rowboat. Yeah, that's right.
Or a snowplow.
Or kayak. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll just have to ponder that for a while. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please write to us, oth@2600.com. Don't forget to support WBAI. Call 212-209-2950 before midnight. Pledge $25. You can be a part of the historic vote next month. Or go to the website, give2wbai.org. We will see you next week on WBAI, 7 o'clock. And overtime following at 8 o'clock. Good night.